The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. It's Hugh Hewitt on December 3rd, 50 years ago today. Richard Nixon signed into existence the Environmental Protection Agency. I'm going to be talking with Arnold Schwarzenegger about that a little bit later in the show. Chuck Todd coming along. Dr. Michael Oren is going to update us on the COVID news from Israel. It's astonishing. 100,000 Americans are in the hospital tonight, today. It's tonight on the West Coast. It's this morning on the East Coast with the coronavirus. And it's really taken off all over, as are fires in Orange County, California, this morning. My production studio friends there are telling me the sky is orange in the middle of the night there. I am here to tell you that I want you to hear some of Donald Trump's speech from the White House yesterday, because major media wouldn't play any of it. So I want to play a lot of that. Let me begin then as out of order. I want to first appeal to you. Don't forget our friends at Angel Tree. I usually tell you about this middle of the first hour. I'm starting the show with it. You've been so generous, but there is so much need. Angel Tree volunteers like Jeremy Hart know literally that every donation, large or small, is important to changing the life of a prisoner's child. Just listen to Jeremy.
I think it's important that God allows us to help the kids connect as much as the parent. I had one Angel Tree kid come to me and say, you know, hey, I'll see my dad when I get in the system. And that just broke my heart. You should see him today. Completely different kiddo. Now this will be his second Christmas with us. And we're standing in the gap. So that's what Angel Tree is we want to stand in the gap.
That's what it does. That's what you do for those children. Please go to HughHewitt.com. $22 helps Angel Tree connect one prisoner with their child, provides presents, a Bible, and then a relationship with outsiders who help that child stay steady while mom or dad is away. That's what Angel Tree does. Christmas joy for those who do not have mom or dad with them, sometimes both. And it's a banner at the top of HughHewitt.com. Let me also tell you a market update at the beginning of this hour, which is brought to you by Birch Gold. Now, markets will be crazy today because the virus is accelerating so quickly, as even as the vaccines are rolling out faster than the virus. And I'm wondering why the FDA isn't moving faster than it is with these numbers. They've got a scheduled approval for the Pfizer, which will be approved on December the 10th, I believe. And then the Moderna virus is scheduled for approval on the 17th. Now, maybe those bureaucratic dates don't mean anything, but if they do mean something, they ought to advance them, because that would certainly make people rest a little bit more easy and perhaps stay a little more cautious for the 3 months it takes to roll it out across the United States. Yesterday, it was a mixed market. The Dow was up 59, the NASDAQ was down 5, and the S&P was up 6. But this is brought to you by Birch Gold, HughGold.com, HughGold.com. And yesterday, gold went up considerably to $1,842. Remember, last week it was below $1,800 for the first time in months. And I told you that was an entry point. I still believe it's an entry point. I believe the world and the markets understand that the vaccine is coming, even as the number of virus cases and hospitalizations soar. They realize the amount of stimulus is coming. Stimulus is going to be passed by the Congress, probably today or tomorrow, and or next week at the latest. And that will add even more liquidity to an already excited amount of money in the system. If you haven't got gold, you haven't got a hedge against inflation, you buy your gold or you transfer a portion of your retirement to physical precious metals at HughGold.com. They'll send you a free information kit on how to do it. Or you can text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Very easy to do. If you don't know how to text names, ask your son, daughter, or the next door kid. Just my name, Hugh, to 474747, and they'll get back to you right away with free information on how to do it, how to buy it. Gold this morning at 1843. The 10-year Treasury is up to 0.95%, almost at triple digits for the first time since March. As I'll tell you, inflation is going to come, and then you're going to wish you had listened to me about gold. Birch Gold at HughGold.com. Now to the president. He came out yesterday, and he began to talk in what he called one of the most important speeches of his presidency, cut number 7.
Thank you. This may be the most important speech I've ever made. I want to provide an update on our ongoing efforts to expose the tremendous voter fraud and irregularities which took place during the ridiculously long November 3rd elections. We used to have what was called Election Day. Now we have election days, weeks and months, and lots of bad things happened during this ridiculous period of time, especially when you have to prove almost nothing to exercise our greatest privilege, the right to vote. As president, I have no higher duty than to defend the laws and the Constitution of the United States. That is why I am determined to protect our election system, which is now under coordinated assault and siege. For months leading up to the presidential election, we were warned that we should not declare a premature victory. We were told repeatedly that it would take weeks, if not months, to determine the winner, to count the absentee ballots, and to verify the results. My opponent was told to stay away from the election. Don't campaign. We don't need you. We've got it. This election is done. In fact, they were acting like they already knew what the outcome was going to be. They had it covered, and perhaps they did, very sadly for our country. It was all very, very strange. Within days after the election, we witnessed an orchestrated effort to anoint a winner, even while many key states were still being counted. The constitutional process must be allowed to continue. We are going to defend the honesty of the vote by ensuring that every legal ballot is counted and that no illegal ballot is counted. This is not just about honoring the votes of 74 million Americans who voted for me. It's about ensuring that Americans can have faith in this election and in all future elections. Today, I will detail some of the shocking irregularities, abuses, and fraud that have been revealed in recent weeks. But before laying out just a small portion of the evidence we have uncovered, and we have so much evidence, I want to explain the corrupt mail-in balloting scheme that Democrats systematically put into place that allowed voting to be altered, especially in swing states, which they had to win. They just didn't know that it was going to be that tough because we were leading in every swing state by so much, far greater than they ever thought possible. While it has long been understood that the Democrat political machine engages in voter fraud from Detroit to Philadelphia to Milwaukee, Atlanta, so many other places. What changed this year was the Democrat Party's relentless push to print and mail out tens of millions of ballots sent to unknown recipients with virtually no safeguards of any kind. This allowed fraud and abuse to occur on a scale never seen before. Using the pandemic as a pretext, Democrat politicians and judges drastically changed election procedures just months and in some cases weeks before the election on the 3rd of November. Very rarely were legislatures involved, and constitutionally they had to be involved. But very, very rarely, and you'll see that as we continue to file our suits, it's constitutionally absolutely incorrect what took place, even from a legal standpoint. Many states, such as Nevada and California, sent millions of live ballots to every person on their voter rolls, whether those individuals had requested ballots or not, whether they were dead or alive. They got ballots. Other states such as Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin instituted universal absentee balloting right in the middle of an election year, sending absentee ballot request forms to all voters on all rolls. It didn't matter who they were, This colossal expansion of mail-in voting opened the floodgates to massive fraud. It's a widely known fact that the voting rolls are packed with people who are not lawfully eligible to vote, including those who are deceased, have moved out of their state, and even are non-citizens of our country. Beyond this, the records are riddled with errors, wrong addresses, duplicate entries, and many other issues. This is not disputed. It has never been disputed. Dozens of counties in the key swing states have more registered voters on the rolls than they have voting age citizens, including 67 counties in Michigan. All of this is evidence. In Wisconsin, the state's Board of Elections could not confirm the residency of more than 100,000 people, but repeatedly refused to remove those names from its voter rolls before the election.
We'll come back with more of the president's remarks from yesterday. I'm playing some of them as legacy media wouldn't play any of them, so you can hear directly what the president of the United States says about the election. Stay tuned to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. Donald Trump was at the White House yesterday. I'm playing excerpts from his speech because mainstream media did not carry any of it. Here's part two, cut number 8.
Even knowing if these people were going to show up, and when they did show up, they said, sorry, you've already voted. And on top of everything else, we have a company that's very suspect. Its name is Dominion. With the turn of a dial or the change of a chip, you can press a button for Trump and the vote goes to Biden. What kind of a system is this? We have to go to paper. Maybe it takes longer. But the only secure system is paper. Not these systems that nobody understands, including, in many cases, the people that run them. Although, unfortunately, I think they understand them far too well. In one Michigan county, as an example, that used Dominion systems, they found that nearly 6,000 votes had been wrongly switched from Trump to Biden. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is what we caught. How many didn't we catch? Are there hundreds of other examples throughout the country? Are there thousands? We just got lucky, and they called it a glitch. But we found numerous glitches that evening. 96% of the company's political donations went to Democrats, not surprisingly. And frankly, when you look at who's running the company, who's in charge, who owns it, which we don't know, where are the votes counted, which we think are counted in foreign countries, not in the United States, Dominion is a disaster. Election authorities in Texas have repeatedly blocked the deployment of Dominion systems due to concerns about security vulnerabilities and the potential for errors and outright fraud. Every district that uses Dominion systems must be carefully monitored and carefully investigated. But not only for the future. Right now, we're worried about the present and what went on with an election that we won without question. Under my lead, the Republicans won almost every state house in the United States. which they weren't expected to do. We went up to 16 seats in the House. The numbers are still being tabulated because there are 9 seats that nobody really knows. They don't know. They're still, 2 weeks later, still under consideration because it's a mess. Republicans were supposed to lose many seats, and instead they won those seats in the House. And a very important election that's coming up will determine whether or not we hold the Senate. David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler are two tremendous people. Unfortunately, in Georgia, they're using the same horrible Dominion system. And it's already been out that hundreds of thousands, think of it, hundreds of thousands of absentee ballots have been requested. You check it out, who's requesting those ballots? The difference is, it's one state and we will have our eyes on it like nobody's ever watched anything before, because we have to win those 2 Senate seats. The tremendous success we had.
For a moment, please, I want to contrast. The president just said we have to win those 2 Senate seats. We will have eyes on that election. Yesterday, a fringe character in Georgia, Lynn Wood, went out and held a don't get out the vote rally. He said, don't vote. And I thought to myself, that is truly nuts. And sure, it turns out he was a Stacey Abrams supporter in 2018. So if you want to be conspiracy minded, you might ask yourself, well, what better way to destroy an election than pretend you're on Donald Trump's side and then urge people not to vote who supported Donald Trump? The president of the United States yesterday told everyone in Georgia, get out and vote for David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. 2 great people. Don't worry about the election. We'll have eyes on every ballot, eyes on every machine. Do not worry about election observers. Get your absentees back. Vote early in Georgia. Do not listen to the fringe. The fringe are venting the anger of some people with the election, but they are fringe, fringe, fringe. And they are not Donald Trump supporters, no matter what they say. The president himself, you just heard it. Vote in Georgia. Vote for Perdue. Vote for Loeffler. Do not be fringe. Don't be seduced by these lunatics. Stay tuned. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. President Trump wrapped up his remarks at the White House yesterday with this 6-minute excerpt, which I want you to hear, cut number 11.
These irregularities are inexplicable unless there is a deliberate effort to accept ineligible ballots or fraudulent ballots. In Pennsylvania, the Secretary of State and the state Supreme Court, in essence, abolished signature verification requirements just weeks prior to the election in violation of state law. You're not allowed to do that. It has to be approved by the legislature. A judge can't do it. A state can't do it. An official can't do it. The only one that can do it is the legislature. The reason for this is clear. They were not verifying signatures because they know the ballots have not been filled out by the voters in whose names they were cast. In other words, people filled them out that had nothing to do with the names on the ballot. A simple recount of the ballots under these circumstances only compounds the fraud. The only way to determine whether there was an honest vote is to conduct a full review of the envelopes in the relevant states. You will find that many of them, tens of thousands, have fraudulent signatures. A full forensic audit is required to ensure that only legal ballots from lawfully registered voters that were properly cast are included in the final count. This election is about great voter fraud, fraud that has never been seen like this before. It's about poll watchers who were not allowed to watch, so illegal. It's about ballots that poured in, and nobody but a few knew where they came from, but they were counted, and they weren't for me. It's about big leads on election night tremendous leads, leads where I was being congratulated for a decisive, easy victory. And all of a sudden, by morning or a couple of days later, those leads rapidly evaporated. It's about numbers of ballots that were sent that nobody knew where they came from. It's about machinery that was defective, machinery that was stopped during certain parts of the evening, miraculously to open with more votes. It was about many other things, but above all, it was about fraud. This election was rigged. Everybody knows it. I don't mind if I lose an election, but I want to lose an election fair and square. What I don't want to do is have it stolen from the American people. That's what we're fighting for, and we have no choice to be doing that. We already have the proof. We already have the evidence, and it's very clear. Many people in the media and even judges so far have refused to accept it. They know it's true. They know it's there. They know who won the election. But they refuse to say, you're right. Our country needs somebody to say, you're right. Ultimately, I am prepared to accept any accurate election result. And I hope that Joe Biden is as well. But we already have the proof. We already have tens of thousands of ballots more than we need to overturn all of these states that we're talking about. This is an election for the highest office in the greatest country in the history of the world. Every reasonable American should be able to agree, based on what we have already documented, that we need a systematic analysis of the mail-in ballots to review the envelopes. It's about the signature. And if they're on the envelopes, we can only review the envelopes, and that will tell us everything. This is the absolute minimum we should expect. This is not just about my campaign, although it has a lot to do with who's going to be your next president. This is about restoring faith and confidence in American elections. This is about our democracy and the sacred rights that generations of Americans have fought, bled, and died to secure. Nothing is more urgent or more important. The only ballots that should count in this election are those cast by eligible voters who are citizens of our country, residents of the states in which they voted, and who cast their ballots in a lawful manner before the legal deadline. Moreover, we must never again have an election in which there is not a reliable and transparent system to verify the eligibility, identity, and residency of every single person who casts a ballot, a very, very cherished ballot. Many very smart people have congratulated me on all we've done. The biggest tax cuts in history, regulation cuts, the biggest in history. We rebuilt our military. We took care of our vets like never before. Space Force, and so much more. But then they went on to say, as big and as important as these events were, the single greatest achievement in your presidency will be exactly what you're doing right now, voter integrity for our nation. It's more important than any of the things that we discussed. If we don't root out the fraud, the tremendous and horrible fraud that's taken place in our 2020 election, we don't have a country anymore. So with the resolve and support of the American people, we will restore honesty and integrity to our elections, and we will restore trust in our system of government. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless America.
Now, I think what this means is that the president is, of course, has not produced enough evidence to persuade one court anywhere to overturn one state certification. He's about 44,000 votes short in Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia. If he had won those three states with about 44,000 votes, he would have thrown it to the House. It would have been 269 to 269. He would have won in the House where they vote by state delegation, but he has not been able to persuade any court in any of those states to stop the process. So he has not won. He has alleged fraud. He can't prove it. I don't think he's been particularly well served by his legal team. I think Rudy has blown this terribly. Nevertheless, there's one lawsuit alive, and it's not in Pennsylvania, which is interesting to me. What will happen to the ruling by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that ballots could be accepted after the voting polls closed on November the 3rd? But there aren't enough votes that arrived after that to change the election. So there is no lawsuit presently anywhere, nor do I anticipate any being filed, that alleges fraud of the sort and in the amount that will reverse the election. So the president is, in essence, running for 2024 on a platform of election integrity. And voters, if they are upset with the way this election went in places like Pennsylvania, need to demand their state legislatures throughout the Supreme Courts that have such rulings, change the laws to get rid of absentee balloting, to allow early election in-person voting, to demand signature verification machines and settings on signature verification that are very high. There are lots of steps that you can take. I like the Israeli system where you have to go home and you have to vote on election day. It's that simple. That's what we used to do, and that's what I think we ought to go back to, and I believe it's the only way to have complete confidence in these systems. Even though I am a longtime absentee voter because I'm a journalist and I never know where I'm going to be, if it was going to be that way, I would accept it. And, except in one Iowa district and one New York district, if a few people don't vote, it doesn't matter. The mass mail-out ballots is a disaster for democracy. So people can ban that in the state legislatures, and you can run for president on that. And he's going to run for president again in 2024. At least that is his plan as of today. And I thought that speech yesterday was all about setting it up. But I wanted you to hear the crucial part. Georgia, I wanted you to hear this. The president wants people to vote in Georgia. He believes the election will be safe in Georgia. The president wants you to reelect David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. He knows that he will not be coming back in 2024 if the Senate is lost in 2020. And the Senate will be lost unless one or both of those, Senator Perdue and Senator Loeffler, win. And so he is against what Sidney Powell did yesterday. He is against what Lynn Wood did yesterday. He's against that crazy rally in Georgia, which got more attention. I think there were 100 people there, and every network ran with it because legacy media is attempting to elect Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff by discontenting Trump voters and Republican voters. They're attempting to destroy morale so that a minority of voters in the state, the people that voted for Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, did not get to 50% either. They were both beaten. Perdue beat Ossoff, and all of the Republicans combined beat all of the Democrats, plus the Greens, plus the Independents combined in the runoff. Now, those two that emerged, Loeffler and Warnock, Warnock got more votes than anybody, but all the Republicans combined versus all the Democrats, plus the Independents and the Greens combined, the Republicans won. So this should not be close. And if it's not close, they can't cheat. And there are going to be more observers and lawyers on the ground in Georgia. Your vote will be safe. Do not listen to the nutters. And I really have come to the conclusion. Eric Erickson posted last night, the Georgia Secretary of State office says that despite his denials, Lynn Wood has a Democrat voting record, including voting in the 2018 Stacey Abrams Democratic primary in Georgia. All right, that's Lynn Wood. And so I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not. I think Lynn Wood is a publicity-hungry lawyer. I don't know anything about Sidney Powell. I believe she came to the attention of the American people because Michael Flynn was ramrodded by a corrupt FBI, and the Department of Justice knew that and revealed that, and Sidney Powell appeared at the side of Michael Flynn at that time, and so she garnered the praise and the gratitude of people who side with General Flynn in that rundown. And therefore, she may not be a very good lawyer at all. I don't know Sidney Powell. But the Lynn Wood character just strikes me as a complete publicity hound. And if you voted for the Democratic primary in Georgia in 2018, as Eric Erickson is saying on Twitter, then I really suspect you're bona fides. I really do. And I would not put it past a Democrat to pretend to be a Republican to try and get people not to vote. You've got to vote, Georgia, because Chuck Schumer told you he wants to make Georgia part of Manhattan. Can we play cut number 12, please?
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer? Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
Can we play that again? Chuck Schumer talking directly to every voter in Atlanta and in Macon and in Savannah and listening in southern Georgia and in northern Georgia right now, and my 13 affiliates in Georgia. This is Chuck Schumer of New York telling you that you're going to be annexed to Manhattan. Cut number 12.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer? Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
You know, I just love that one more time as I get ready for my relief factor, Chuck Schumer.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, can you
repeat that, Mr. Schumer?
Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
That is filmed in downtown Manhattan. Chuck Schumer in New York telling everyone in Georgia they're just simply going to be puppets of New York. I love that. Dr. Michael Oren joins me from Israel next. Stay tuned, America. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, joined by Dr. Michael Oren, former Israeli ambassador to the United States from Israel. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, Hugh. Good to be with you again.
Well, you know, whenever the American elections are over and the British elections are over, I can always count on the Israelis to give me an election to watch. It looks like we're going to have more elections in Israel. Am I right about that?
I hope not. I really hope not. And the vast, vast majority of Israelis hope not. We don't see any reason for this. You know, Netanyahu is such a political genius. Last night he gave a big speech in which he blamed Benny Gantz, or the head of the blue and white part of the coalition, for forcing an election. But behind the scenes, he's forcing Benny Gantz to go to a private election. We put a little blame on Benny, gets the credit, maybe goes to election. But it's the last thing we need. We're in the middle of Corona. We got a million people without work, and no one will understand. And what this will only do will be further erode public confidence in elected officials. And we see how that impacts democracies around the world, including in the United States.
Okay, but it does. I read my Times of Israel this morning, and if the Knesset's dissolution bill isn't ultimately approved, the government has until December 23rd to pass a 2020 budget, which isn't going to happen, so it's going to fall. So from this desk inside the Beltway, it looks like you're going to vote again in March or in early summer, one way or the other. If that happens, how do the coalitions shake out? The Yamina, I mean, there are so many new players. I need a scorecard.
Oh, so here it is. It's Yamina under, which is goes to the right of the Likud. The first time in Israel's history where you have a challenge to a right-wing government from the right. Okay, under Naftali Bennett, who's a very accomplished individual. I personally am very close to him. I like him very much. Respect him. Speaks English without an accent. You'll enjoy having him on the radio. I think he's trying to get a coalition with Yair Lapid, the head of the opposition, and to get Benny Gantz away from the coalition to join the other two parties, which would give them a clear majority, because Netanyahu and Likud could have gone down in the polls from 40 to about 27.
Wow. Well, is that because of COVID?
Only because of COVID. Because during this period, you know, Netanyahu has signed peace agreements with Bahrain, with the UAE. He's had a quote-unquote secret visit to Saudi Arabia. So many accomplishments in the foreign policy field, and yet they go down because people care at the end of the day whether they can feed their families. And I've just come back from America. I saw those food lines. Broke my heart. We're not far off from that point.
So a million people unemployed. What does that work out to in terms of percentage for the Israeli workforce, Michael? Are you at 15% unemployment, 20% unemployment?
Yeah, 15 to 17% unemployment. But it's also 60% of small businesses have closed.
Wow. So
we don't have a lot of e-commerce in this country. Our small businesses have a powerful lobby to keep e-commerce out. No, very little Amazon here. So when you say 60% of small businesses, that's a huge swath of Israel's economy.
What is the rollout of the vaccine look like in Israel? Because there are three candidates now. I know Israel's developing its own, but when do you think Pfizer or Moderna will arrive?
Well, this is Bibi's ace. He keeps on publicizing the conversations he's having with the CEOs of Johnson & Johnson, with Pfizer, with Moderna. He's saying it's going to come in January. We'll see. I know it's a big question mark, and whether we'll go with some of the Russian solutions, whether we'll go the way of Great Britain and not wait for, you know, FDA approval. By the way, Israel subscribes to FDA approval. We have the exact same standards. And I don't know. This is what Netanyahu was hoping is going to be his key. We'll see how it plays out in the polls. So far, it really hasn't. He keeps on going down.
So he would be hoping that the vaccine would roll out in the first quarter and then elections would arrive in quarter two. But he really does want elections.
Well, if the elections would happen, they'd happen probably after December, which means we're going to get into a cart and horse thing. He wants the elections to occur after the vaccine arrives.
Correct.
Does that sound familiar to you? And in the United States, I don't know whether that's going to play out, because he's certainly not going to delay vaccines until after elections. That wouldn't play very well, would it now?
Now, an update. Give us an update on the Saudi Arabia Abraham Accord access. It seems to me we saw Jared Kushner in the Middle East this week. What do you think?
I think the Saudis are probably going to hold out. Remember, I've talked in the past about how difficult it is for the Saudis, being the custodians of the two holiest cities in Islam, of Mecca and Medina, to make peace with a Jewish state, which controls the third holiest city in Islam, in Jerusalem. It's hard for them. Bahrainis and the Emiratis don't have those type of religious constraints. The Saudis may want to hold out the peace card for the Biden administration and trade it for something like, you know, forget about the Khashoggi incident, the whole human rights issue. And they'll try to extract some quid pro quo. A lot is going to depend on whether the president-elect is going to rush in to renew the Iran nuclear deal, as he intimated in his interview this week with Thomas Friedman of the New York Times. By the way, that article had reverberated here, and that's an understatement. I think it really,
oh, my gosh, I read it on the air. It's a terrible resolve to repeat an enormous error. Michael Oren, we'll talk next week. We'll continue to look at this new coalition. It's really confusing, even to someone who checks it at least weekly. Thank you. Follow him on Twitter at Dr. Michael Oren. Get his book, The Night Archer, short stories that will get you through the last 3 months of quarantine. Michael Oren's book, The Night Archer. Come back, Eliana Johnson, Chuck Todd, and Arnold in the next hour of The Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.